the latest news now.
A self-styled assassin who was encouraged by an AI chatbot to break into Windsor Castle with a loaded crossbow to kill the late Queen has been locked up for 9 years. This is the moment Jaswant Singh Chhale was sentenced by Mr. Justice Hilliard.
The prosecution have submitted that the uniquely serious nature of this offending places it at the top of or beyond the top of the sentencing range in the guideline. I agree.
A nurse has been found guilty of ill-treating hospital stroke patients in Blackpool. Catherine Hudson drugged two patients for an easy life during work shifts. 51 have been killed in a Russian rocket attack in Ukraine. The attack came as a summit of about 50 European leaders in Spain spoke about support from Ukraine's allies. Rishi Sunak set out the UK's plans to support Ukraine's successful counter-offensive in the long-term security and recovery. Meanwhile, Sunak is expected to face a Commons showdown with MPs over the cancellation of HS2's northern leg. It's as he refused to apologise for his decision. The family of a 5-year-old boy who died a week after he was sent home from a hospital emergency department has rejected a report that says his care was appropriate. Yusuf Mahmoud Nazir died 8 days after he was seen at Rotherham Hospital and sent home. His uncle says they weren't listened to.
At the time, we were saying, please, can you give him antibiotics? We were begging for IV treatment. We were begging for them to just observe him while he's having these breathing episodes. Nothing was done. Nothing was given to us.
Rotherham NHS Foundation Trust says the care he received was appropriate. And a hospital manager has climbed the three peaks to scatter her father's ashes around the mountains and raise money for charity. Stephanie Coxon from Bristol has raised more than £1,000. It's in memory of her father who died of lung cancer last year at the age of 75. And that's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Ellie Robson.
Radio Works.
When it comes to finances, employers have a responsibility to look after their employees, yet 41% don't feel supported. Jonathan Watts-Lay, Director at Wealth at Work, explains how employers can support their workforce's financial well-being.
Our research shows that 63% of organisations recognise poor financial literacy can have a big impact on the financial well-being of employees. This can result in increased absenteeism and reduced productivity. Organisations who need help to support their staff should contact Wealth at Work.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
A cloudy evening and night with further rain in places. The rain towards the northwest, where it could be heavy at times over higher ground. Mild tonight, lows of 12 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village. Here for health and well-being. Find out about free tasters on the many exciting classes available, including yoga, Nordic walking, Pilates and much more. See ymcanewarksherwood.org for details.
Radio Newark.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
One is you make me happy, two is you set me free from all the things that held me back from just being me. Thank you for all the sweetness, now I can finally breathe, now I can finally breathe. But baby, don't you see, I still get frustrated again, like when you keep I got 21 reasons why I do, 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 do,
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, keep on counting. I still love you. I got 21 reasons why I do.
Good evening and welcome to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey, and alongside me as always I have Joino. Good evening, Joino.
Good evening, mate. How you doing?
I'm good, mate. Thank you. This evening we have a really great show lined up. We have June Rowlands, and along with June, Dean has come along with us. Dean Sugden is here. We're going to have a really great chat about Dean and what he's up to and how it all got going. So really looking forward to that. Big thank you to Newark and Sherwood for a couple of weeks ago. I wasn't here last week, so apologies for that. Big thank you to Newark and Sherwood for popping in a couple of weeks ago. Also, again, yeah, really enjoyed their company. But looking forward to Dean and June as well this evening. So we're going to be back in a few seconds, and we're going to talk about the local sport. We'll see you guys in a bit.
Take my hand, tell me
and welcome back to Radio Newark with Gory, as I said, and alongside me is Joino. We'll be speaking to Dean and June in a few minutes, but what we're going to just talk about, as we normally do, and talk about a few local stories that have happened over the last week or so. Joino, over to you.
Hey, I'm just going to start off, Mark, with local Sundayside, Holy Trinity. They had a 4-1 win last Sunday, going joint top of the league, which has set them up nicely for quite arguably their biggest game of their club's career as they start and enter into the Sunday FA Cup for the first time, I'm led to believe. So just reading down here, Mark Harvey's obviously going to prepare the lads well, and they face a team from Leicester, I believe.
You're right, yeah.
Yep, Leicester. So, yeah, all the best to them guys.
I've got a bit of a vested interest in that one.
Yeah, because Will's coming back for that, isn't he?
So. He is indeed.
Yeah, so that one should be a good one on Sunday, 2 o'clock on Boulderton Playing Fields.
I look forward to that. Hopefully a few of you can get down and watch that. I think it would be it's a big day for those guys. You know, we've not had many teams enter that, have we?
No. So. Well, I think we have one from here, so I think RHP have entered it a couple of times.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a big cup.
Brilliant. Okay, okay. There's a Will Tucker. You've got to mention Will Tucker.
From the Newark Athletics Club. He ran a personal best at the weekend in a 10K. So he's hoping to keep pushing on from that. So big congratulations to him.
Fantastic news. A bit back to football. I'm going to mention Southwold City, and then it's going to follow on for something else. But Southwold City have had a not a bad start, but they've had a good couple of wins last two games, which they've not done for a long while. So good luck to those guys. And following on from that in Southwold, Southwold have got a taekwondo club. I don't know many people who know. But they travelled to Cheltenham for a very, very big tournament and came away with a load of medals last week. So that's really good news. So, yeah, something different there, Joino. Newark Town, how did they get on this week?
We haven't had a successful week this week. We lost in the League Cup midweek to Lincoln United from a tier above. But more downing, shall we say, is the 3-2 defeat on Saturday in the league to Dunkirk, which has currently just knocked us outside the playoffs now. So, you know, we're looking at regrouping and putting that right this Saturday.
It's good. It's early days, Joino. It's early days. It's definitely. Still just the start of October, isn't it? So I went to watch Newark and Sherwood last weekend. They were at home against Hucknall. And, my God, they should have won it. But they managed to scrape, and I mean seriously, it was last kick of the match.
Yeah.
I don't know, Dean or Jimmy, you get to watch any local football, but there's quite a few there. It was a good game, but they didn't lack chances. It's just, you know, they just couldn't get the ball in the net and came away with a 1-1 draw. But there's signs of improvement. I thought they got some really good players, so good luck to those guys as well, and obviously to Newark Town. So, you know, we've got some couple of good sides going on. So. Right, okay, that sums that up for this week. We'll be back with you guys shortly, and then we're going to be over to June and Dean.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking, and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
The ASA regulates UK ads across all media, including radio, to make sure they stick to the rules. You should be able to trust the ads you hear, whether you love them or hate them. So we're by your side and keeping our ears open, because every little helps. The ASA, keeping ads legal, decent, honest and truthful. Oh, yes.
If I can do it, you can do it. Get support to start the fight back to a healthier you. Download the free 1U Couch to 5K app now, because there's only one you.
107.8 FM, Radio Newark.
Find fantastic entertainment on your doorstep at the Palace Theatre Newark. From hilarious comedy to absorbing drama, star names to terrific tributes, find family fun, romantic date ideas and big nights out with friends, all in the heart of town. Find the full programme and book now at palacenewark.com or call Newark 655-755. Radio Newark.
Time marches on, never ending.
Hi and welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gore, and as always alongside me, Joino. Evening, Joino.
Evening, Paul.
And welcome, June Rowlands and Dean Sugden, to the studio. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you so much for popping in tonight. I know you're a very busy man and we'll find out tonight why. June, no stranger to the studio. Talk of the Town was once your show, wasn't it?
It was. In fact, my last Talk of the Town was exactly 10 months ago. In December last year. So, and I was there from day one, from when the we first set up the station. So, yes, obviously I wasn't live in the studio during all the lockdowns and everything, but
Boundary Sound, you just mentioned you were part of the Boundary Sound team.
I was with Boundary Sound from day one as well, yes, yes I was. I actually went to a meeting there to find out a little bit about it before it actually started, and the boss there said to me, you have to come in and have a look at the studio and have a look around. And I said, yeah, that's fine. I used to work for the District Council in those days as their media manager, and when we'd had the tour, he said, right, so when do you want to be on air? And I thought he meant, like I was doing for the business I worked for, I thought he meant as a regular guest. And I said, well, I could come in whenever we've got anything going on. He said, no, we want you to do a show, which was a bit of a shock. So, I've been presenting radio shows in Newark since, I can't remember when it was now that Boundary Sound started, but I was with them from day one as well, so a good long while anyway. Yeah.
Wow, great stuff. So let's go to just move over to Dean. Hey Dean,
how you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Obviously we go back a long time, Dean. We both went to the Grove.
We did.
That was a great school. Were you there, Joino?
Grove.
So was it the Grove? It was a great school, but it was a good upbringing, and I know there was, we had one or two fights, didn't we? But I know, Dean, you did. How did it all start, Dean? Let's talk about how you got into this kickboxing, and how did it all start?
Probably when my footballing sort of days sort of finished. For me, it was like, that's all I wanted to be when I left school, was a footballer. And then after suffering a bad ankle injury, when I was about, I think, 17, I think I was playing for Farrers at the time. We were just talking about local football, and that was probably a decent standard on a Sunday afternoon.
It was, yeah.
And after doing that and kind of becoming a bit disillusioned, because I was really close to signing a YTS with Mansfield Town at the time, and it just felt like my whole life and career had sort of finished. And I'd always wanted to box as a kid, but Mum and Dad had never let me because I was always in too much trouble. So at sort of 17, 18, obviously, I can kind of make my own mind up. And so I started kickboxing a little bit on the quiet, really, and just said to Mum and Dad, look, I'm not fighting, I'm just training. And then they'd read about it in the paper and then go, hold on a minute, I thought you said you were just training. And after a few wins and a few British titles and European title, obviously world title. Obviously, my mum and dad were there for that big night in Newark in 2005. But I guess things have just gone crazy, really. I mean, we opened the amateur boxing club in 2001.
That's on Castlegate. That's the one on Castlegate. Yeah,
yeah, so Suggy's Gym's been there, I think, well, we opened in 2000. And then just after a year of being open, we had a level two coach walk into the gym and just say, hey, fancy opening up a boxing club? And at the time, there was RHP, which was being run by Dick Daubney. And Dick wasn't very well. He was coming to the end of his time in boxing. And I just felt it was the right thing to do. Newark had always had a big history in boxing and felt, you know, we were in a good place. We had some great facilities. And I just thought, right, okay, we've got this level two coach, a guy called Paul Cleaver, and that helped us accelerate opening up the amateur boxing club. And here we are, sort of over 20 years on. And, you know, I mean, we couldn't be any busier. You know, we've had multiple national champions. We've had kids.
We'll come back to the bit of that as we go through it, because obviously there's a lot happened since 2001. I remember it used to be the pool hall, didn't it, Dee?
Hey, mate, yeah, I think I don't want to talk about it, but I might have had a few little runnings there as well.
I was just about to say that.
I don't know if the Grove was harder than the pool hall.
You know what, it does seem a bit weird sometimes walking into the boxing gym and thinking, yeah, I do remember a few little runnings that down that alleyway.
Brilliant. When I came down in 2000, it just started.
Yeah.
Was it a kickboxing gym to start with?
Well, we were a martial arts centre. I think martial we were arts, called okay. Newark Martial Arts, and the idea was we wanted to be a centre for... I've always been proud to be from Newark, you know, so, you know, whether it be Newark Town Football or Newark, you know, Newark Amateur Boxing Club, for me, it's always been my hometown. So when we've fought all over the world, and some of the lads have obviously fought all over the world with Bailey and Chad and, you know, literally gone everywhere there is to sort of name, really, we've always said we're from Newark. We've never said we're from Nottingham. You know, we've been proud to be from the town. So when we first set up, it was set up as a martial arts centre and fitness studio. And obviously the main thing that we focused on initially was kickboxing, because that was my background.
Yeah.
But then as boxing kind of got introduced, it's fair to say initially it was fairly quiet, but then when Chad switched over from kickboxing to boxing, it really sort of exploded. Because I think every club needs kind of like a role model, you know, somebody to look up to. And obviously all the amateurs were looking up to Chad, having a lot of success as a professional boxer, and I think that helped. Obviously Chad's now a level two England coach, so he's one of our coaches. We've got three level twos and about three level one coaches, so there's a real big depth of sort of volunteers that come in and help with the amateur side. And Bailey's still flying the flag for the kickboxing,
right?
But we've got less kickboxers competing than we have boxers. You know, the boxing's just, it's fair to say, has taken over, really.
Yeah.
Let's good switch back to June. So, June, obviously, you know Dean.
Just a little, yes.
And you're doing a bit of meat. So what do you actually do with the Dean at the minute then?
Well,
apart from your training, because we could talk about that in a minute.
Apart from my training, right. I am his PR and media manager. So I run his website, Chad's website, Bailey's website, and I do all his PR stuff. So we get the back page of the advertiser on a regular basis, and I think that's is that all I do for you? I keep him under control. I sort out his spelling mistakes and his grammar mistakes.
I knew that was coming.
In fact, he's reached the point now when he sends me a draft for me to write a proper press release. He say, obviously, sort out the grammatical mistakes.
I'm shocked, to be fair, June, since you told me you're a Liverpool fan.
Well, I was... I was born here in Nottingham, but I went to Liverpool University. And as I said earlier on, the first match I saw was Forest Liverpool at Liverpool.
Oh, okay.
And it was in the days when you still stood up in the cop, and I was in the cop with my other half. I became my other half, and I think we were the only two Liverpool fans there. Everybody else, sorry, I've got that wrong. I was in Nottingham. We were the only Nottingham people there, that's right. And I was still kind of a Nottingham fan. I felt obliged to be a Nottingham fan. Nottingham beat Liverpool. I think it was 2-0.
You can't sit on your hands when you stood up, Jean. What happened? You didn't jump up and down when they scored, did you?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yes, definitely. But at the end of it, the Forest supporters that were around, standing around with us, they said, well, we've got to admit, although you lost, you're definitely better than us. So, and then after that, I used to go to all the home matches for Liverpool when I was at university. As I said earlier, I met the team when they came to Dubai and had a fantastic week with them. Obviously, I haven't been to a match in a long, long time, but I still follow them avidly on Facebook, yes, it's my second sporty obsession, next to Mr. Sutton, of course. Yes,
it has to be second to Dean. You got it,
yes,
right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just talking about June and how valuable she is to Dean, I just want to have a quick chat with Dean about someone that has been with Dean a long time. He's a very good friend of mine, and behind every good club, and Dean's obviously ran a very successful.
We're going. I tell you what, that's a really good start to break that. I tell you what, we'll come straight back to that straight after this break, Tony. Okay. We'll follow that straight on.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. A kind of magic. One dream, one soul, one prize, one gold, one golden glance. Should be. It's a kind of magic. One shaft of light that shows the way. No mortal man can win this day. It's a kind of magic. The bell that rings inside your mind is charging the doors.
Magic, 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 magic
Good evening and welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gory and Joino. And along with me tonight is June Rowlands and Dean Sugden, a partnership doing the boxing and the kickboxing. And there's a lot going on. But Tony, just before I interrupted in the make the break there, you were going to mention a young man that we all really know very well.
Yeah, it's a guy that I have a hell of a lot of time for, and I know Dean does. Behind every successful club, be it in whichever sport, you need people that necessarily the public don't see. And Dean's got one on board with him who I absolutely cherish. His name's Sid. I'm going to hand you over to Dean to talk about Sid a little bit, because I've got absolute abundance of time for the guy.
Well, we all have. And if you're listening, Sid, it's you, Sid Yeomans. We know you. Come on.
Everybody knows you.
He's a legend. When I say he's a legend, he says legend. that's typical of Sid. I mean, a.k.a. my dad. I mean, obviously, he's been on my shoulder, or, you know, he's been working with me now. I mean, I could tell so many great stories about Sid, but going back to my football days, we mentioned Hovel Farah. Yeah. First time I met Sid, funnily enough, I walked into the changing rooms as a 16, 17-year-old kid. I think I was 16 at the time, maybe just 16, 17. And I was thinking, where am I going to sit? It's like a changing room full of big, grown, hairy men. And I was thinking, where the hell am I going to sit? And I was looking around, couldn't see a space anywhere. And I was thinking, oh, my God, where am I going to sit? Where am I going to sit? And then Sid basically said, here, son, come sit next to me like that, and created a bit of a space. Yeah. And I always say to this day, I mean, I'm a few years on now, I've never been able to shake him off since. But I've never wanted to shake him off, because, you know what, when we were opening up that gym on Castlegate, we were struggling like mad to sort of open it. We had to borrow, we had to, you know, I'm not going to say pinch, because that'd be wrong, but we had to do everything to make that gym open and get it open. It was a real community effort. And Sid, I remember him walking past the gym, and he went, hey up, Suggy, what's up? He says, you look stressed. I says, oh, mate, I need this, been let down by this. He says, well, just say you should just give me a ring.
Yeah,
typical,
exactly.
Sid.
Yeah.
Typical Sid. And you know, honestly, what he's not done for me, you know, it's not worth mentioning, because he's just huge. He's absolutely huge. And he's a brilliant cornerman. He's an absolute asset to the club. And when I say cornerman, he's actually done the lead on the corner on a number of occasions. And he's more than happy to do that, because what he doesn't know is not worth knowing. He's a great guy, an absolute asset.
He's the nicest man, isn't he, that you want to meet?
100%, yeah.
And is he still doing it now?
Yeah, 100% he is. And, you know, me and Sid were just literally joined. I'm so, honestly, to call him a friend is an understatement. Yeah. He's right there. I call him Mr. Black and White, because Sid's the straightest guy you'll ever meet. And he's the best support I could ever wish for. It's a volunteer's role, you know, the amateur boxing coaches, they're all volunteers. None of them get paid to support the club. And I remember when he first got his badge, his lanyard, so he could do the corner, and you know, he struggled to get it because he didn't want to put himself over as this expert in boxing. But you know what, he knows so much, and he's just always there, and he's just so reliable. He's got all the right qualities for a great coach. You know, and I know he's been involved. He's been, well, obviously, I met him in football, but he always puts the he bumps into, you know, Andy Cook, obviously, really, really well. Andy comes and trains early in the morning as well, and it crosses over when me and Sid train in the gym. And there's always a conversation about Forest and what they should have done and could have done.
Yeah.
And if it's not Forest, it's your team, Joe. You know, he'll literally talk about the local football scene, you know, like, because if he goes to watch a game, Sid's watching a game, isn't he?
He's watching.
You know, he's paying attention.
Big shout out to Sid. We go back a long time as well. I think a lot of people know him from being a Newark legend. So, yeah. Back to you then, Dean. So, you've got so much going on, and I know we haven't got much time. So, let's talk about the England boxing first, because I know you're heavily involved with that.
Yeah.
Just giving us a bit of an insight what's going on there, because I know you've got some awards, they've had loads of medals. You're doing a great job. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, about a year ago, I went for... we had to go for an assessment to become a level 3 coach, or to go on a level 3 course, which is about a year long. I'm currently a level 2 coach. And as part of that, I then got selected and asked to get involved with England boxing. And long story short, I'm now one of the England pathway coaches. And then obviously just recently, I got a fantastic opportunity to go and help the senior team out in Spain. which was an absolute honour. Because there's one thing being a coach and helping support behind the scenes, you know, at the camps and at the training centres. You know, they do a lot of time up in Sheffield, but they also train out at Bermatoff's in Leeds. Famous gym's been going for years and years. And then Tamworth, they kind of like have squad training sessions for schools, juniors and youths and seniors all over the country. But Sheffield's obviously the base, which is where GB Boxing's based.
Okay.
And to actually get the call to go and help them in Spain was just phenomenal. And you know, there's 47, I think, England pathway coaches, and there was only three that actually got to go to Spain, and
is
I was
that
one
at
of them.
A professional level, or is that an amateur level?
It's amateur level, yeah. But these are boxers which will then go on and hopefully represent GB,
okay.
And potentially, if they qualify, obviously, be in the Olympics. So this is working with the best amateurs that the country has.
So I noticed on your Facebook page, because I've had a bit of a trawl through that just to keep it up. So you just mention some of the boxers, Dean, that you're working with, because I know they've brought back a few medals recently, and a lot of these.
Yeah, well, in the gym, I mean, we've got multiple national champions. I mean, Sam Hardy's probably been the most successful boxer for us. I've had Sam since he was about four. He's 17 now. He's had a tough last 12 months, Sam, because he's had a hand operation and a shoulder injury, which he had a shoulder dislocation. So we've had to sort of rehab that. But he's won two national titles, two national finalists. He's also represented England in the European Championships and got a bronze medal. So Sam's probably our most successful Newark lad that's kind of come through, if you like, Newark Amateur Boxing Club and now represented England. But we've had a girl, Chloe Davis, who's also represented England. We've had Alfie Briggs-Price, who's always also represented England. And, you know, we had a guy called Prem Pozniak, who was a senior boxer. He won a national senior heavyweight title. So as a club, I mean, there's too many East Midlands champions to probably mention, but we've got Robert Price boxing on Sunday in the pre-quarters, national pre-quarter final up in Newcastle. Okay. We're literally all over the place trying to keep up. But, you know, I'm lucky because I've got some good support. So I've got Chad now as a level two coach. I've got Sid. I've got Irving Taylor. I've got Steve Williams. I've got Megan Williams. Without those guys supporting me and allowing me to, if you like, go and help England.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't be able to do it because obviously we have our own club that still needs to kind of flourish and do well.
So it's not just England. We're going to come back. We're going to have another break in a second, and we're going to come back to some of the other things that you're doing, because I know that isn't the end of the list, Dean, is it?
It's mad.
And Jean, don't sit there. If you want to jump in, you can.
No,
you know,
fine.
You know. But yeah, we're going to have another quick break, and then we'll be back to chat about the other bits that are going on.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Newark Bathrooms and Kitchens are a local, independent, family-run business. We've been serving the people of Newark for 11 years. And right now, we've got a great offer on your new fitted kitchen. When you buy three Neff appliances, you get an integrated dishwasher, absolutely free. Offer applies on orders placed before the end of November with deposits paid. T's and C's apply. Ask in store for details. We're next to the police station on Queen's Road in Newark. When you're planning your next kitchen, think Newark Bathrooms and Kitchens. Call Newark 703-411. Or check out our website, newarkbathroomsandkitchens.co.uk.
Smith's Timber Merchants are a family-run business serving the local community. Our range of products is enormous and our customer service is second to none. It's one of the reasons we've been around since 1862, and we offer free local delivery with no minimum value. We're open Monday to Saturday from 8 till 5 and Sundays from 10 till 2. Smith's Timber Merchants are proud to be local. Visit us on Appleton Gate, Newark. Call Newark 702573 or find us online at smithstimber.co.uk.
Thank you.
Radio Newark and on the sport, it's Gory and Joyno here this evening with June Rowlands and Dean Sugden. We've just had a really, really interesting chat off air, actually, and we've talked about how tough the game is, Dean, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it's obviously, you've got to get the fights and it's the training, and but that was it's a really good chat as to how tough it is. But one thing you did say was how much you enjoy it, because it's something you enjoy and it's your livelihood as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I never get tired of it, to be fair. I mean, I'm in the gym at 6 o'clock. I'm pretty much 7 days a week. I do get a couple of little afternoons off, but I tend to fill them with kind of development of my for myself as a boxing coach and as an elite coach. I'm on a thing called a certificate in high performance sports program up at Sheffield, and I'm also on this performance coaching in boxing course, which takes up a bit of time. But no, honestly, I love it. I wouldn't change it for the world. I'm doing something I really enjoy, so I'm happy.
Yeah, that's brilliant. One thing, I've just talked about the England, so if that's not enough, let's talk about the East Midlands thing then, because that's a bit closer to our heart now, Dean, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I got voted in, which is a fantastic thing. So basically, there's 100 clubs in the East Midlands region, and they voted me in as their regional coach this year. So that's a fairly new post. I was helping out last year, but they voted me in. So that is now my role. So for my sins, I've kind of took on that title. But again, I want to sort of kind of, it's great for the town because, you know, when we can, we'll bring all of those East Midlands clubs to Newark. But because it's been so popular, we haven't really got the facility in the town. We really need a facility with, say, 3 or 4 rings. It's you know, it's going to attract that many boxers. There's probably going to be between 60 and 80 to 90 boxers at any one time in any one session. So, you need a fairly big sort of facility to sort of cope with that. I've recruited a team of about 8 to 10 sort of coaches, some of which are on the England setup with me, some of which aren't, but they're just good coaches, and they've said, look, they want to help. So the plan is, we've got a show on the 20th of January against the home counties. Now, last time we boxed the home counties at East Midlands, we lost, I think, 6-4. So we need to turn them over. And it's very competitive because the guy who's just taken on the home counties position, he's one of the England pathway coaches as well. So we'll have a bit of fun on that one. But there's no way he's going to win this one. So I've just literally reached out to all the clubs and I've said, look, if you weren't involved before, you need to be involved now because I want the best boxers in the East Midlands to represent the East Midlands. If we're going to go against the home counties, we need to do a number on them. The home counties is a big, big county and they've got a lot of clubs, yeah, a lot of good clubs as well to pull from. So I think we've got our work cut out, but it'll be interesting. But that's going to be at Clifton in Nottingham, that show. And we've got squad training sessions coming up on the 29th of October to sort of pick and then choose who we, you know, want to represent. We've got, I think, 3 squad training sessions before the show on the 20th of Jan. So we'll just pick and choose. And there'll be like lots of kids from Newark Amateur Boxing Club and some of the other boxing clubs in the town that'll attend them sessions as well. So
anybody can go along, really.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. All they need to do is pre-register. So, you know, we put a criteria in it. They've had 3 bouts at least because when it becomes big enough, we'll split it into a development squad and a performance squad. So you've got like 2 squads. So I want to run it alongside how England run their squads. Yeah. And they have a performance squad and a development squad. So you always kind of could potentially go from one squad to another. But it'll be the performance squad in the main that represents the region. But let's just say we give the home counties 20 boxers and they can't match all 20, but they come back with say 5 and say, can you match these? Then we'll go into the development squad, the ones that have been picked out for the development side that maybe don't have as many bouts, but you know, you still want them to represent the region. So, you know, but in an ideal world, you'd have your strongest squad.
Haven't you got to choose? How many do you have to choose?
Well, about order would usually consist of about 16 contests, but when there's an East Midlands versus a home counties, you could extend that to about 20 bouts. So
okay,
in total, which is obviously 40 boxers, 20 home boxers and 20 from the home counties. So there'll be probably about, I would guess, about 40 to 50 that you would highlight as you'd want to represent the region. And then it's just a question of looking at the home counties and seeing how they all match up. Because when you match them, you have to match them from weight for weight, age for age. So you can't, you know, we can't have a load of big heavyweights against a load of welterweights.
What's the age group, Dean?
Well, it's all age groups from schools. So and then juniors, youths and then seniors. So schools would be age sort of 10 to, I think it's 13. And then you've got juniors 13 to 15. And then you've got youths 16 to 17, 18, that's a youth now. And then obviously at 18, they turn. But at 18, they still have to box somebody within 2 years of their age. But then after that, then they can box as a senior. So
okay. So I noticed on your page, you've got a lot of young ones that you're training.
Yeah, we've got a home show at Farndon Village Hall. That's we've been promoting there for a few years now. We'll have 16 bouts on there, and we'll have kids aged from 11, I think, with the youngest. They're allowed to do a skills contest when the first, which is like no decision, so it takes a bit of pressure off, a bit like a friendly at football. And then we've got some, you know, some challenge belts. So we've got, I think, 3 East Midlands challenge belts. Only 2 have been announced. So one's a kid called Travis Dunwell. He's boxing for the 60-kilogram East Midlands challenge belt. And then we've got Paddy Rooney, as we call him. He's boxing for the minus 52 against a kid from Leicester. So that's where you've got a champion and we've put a challenge in against him. So it'll be a good night of boxing. It'll be action-packed. It'll be fast and furious. But we're kind of lucky, really, because we've got a lot of kids coming through that are kind of fairly new that'll be having their first bout. And then you've got kids like Sam Hardy, who's probably having his 45th bout. You know, so you've got a whole spectrum of, like, you know, standard of boxing going on in the one night.
For me, it's like when you watch the kids, they're fearless, aren't they?
Oh, mate, it's so real. It's so real. And, you know, it's such an emotional roller coaster, not just for the kids, but for the parents, you know, for the family. It's a real tricky one. But, you know, we're very inclusive at the club, but we obviously always want to win. But what we try and focus all the kids and the juniors and all the adults on now is the performance, because you can't really control. If you knock your opponent out, of course, that's fairly categoric. You win. You know, football, it's about scoring goals. Boxing, then if you don't knock them out, it becomes a bit subjective. So there is a scoring criteria and you try and get your hand raised, but sometimes, you know, you might lose on a split. So we always say, focus on your performance. If you're doing everything right, we want to win, don't get me wrong. When you lose at boxing, it tends to hurt, you know, because you can get hurt and also it's a little bit more painful, you know, because you're receiving a few blows to the body and the head. But the positives that come out of the sport are massive. You know, from behaviour to discipline to respect, you know, them kids are performing at a high level, but sometimes a low level, but them, their life skills, you know, that they'll take with them. And I've had so many people, you know, like, they've said, oh, I'm taking on an apprentice, Dean. Have you got any good kids down the gym? Because they know that they turn up to the training. They know they're on time. They know that they're reliable. They know they're not going to go out and have a few drinks and, you know, not turn up for work the following day. So it's a real good life skill.
It's one of those sports. It's a bit like rugby, when the respect is massive. You know, they can hammer each other for 80 minutes, but at the end, I mean, they are so respectful of each other. And, you know, and it's the same in boxing, really, isn't it? You can see the boxers at the end. They're like, I've just beat you, or you've just beaten me, but, you know. And for me as well, you were just talking about performance. Coaching the teams here at the Barnby Road, I like to see them play well. You know, winning is great, and we are lucky, we're blessed, but it's the performance for me, like you've just said.
Yeah.
And I think you can take pleasure from that because you can see them learning, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. And if you don't win and if you focus on the performance, I often say to the kids, right, who have lost, and I say to them, you know, obviously they're disappointed. They're absolutely gutted. So I say, would you have preferred to have won but not performed very well? And they always go, well, no.
Mm.
And that's an interesting sort of moment, really. So what can you control? Well, you can control your performance. So if you do lose, you know, look at why you lost and like what you could do better for the next time, because that makes you better. And you always got to look in and not look out, because it can always be somebody else's fault, can't it? But if we look in, that will make us a little bit better. And I think focusing on the performance gives us an opportunity to celebrate the performance. You can't really celebrate a loss.
No.
I kind of get that. But if they've performed well, then you can, yeah, absolutely, you can celebrate that. And I think that's important, because it's hard work, boxing game. It's an acquired taste, getting in that ring and doing what they do. It's not easy.
I fancy myself as a boxer, Johnny.
Yeah, sorry, mate, I don't agree with you, mate.
There's a match up there. I mean, we don't do the white collar, but if we did, then I'd love to put that on.
Hey, look, we are running out of time, and what can I say? Dean, June, thank you so much.
You're
for
welcome.
Coming in. I mean, it's been amazing and it's been an eye-opener. Before we go, June is being trained by you, Dean. How's she doing? Come on.
Oh, she's doing great. I mean, she's fit, she's healthy, she's well. She's probably the oldest deadlifter I have in the gym, but she's exceptionally strong for her.
She did tell us, Dean, that she's clipped you. Is that right?
Well, look, she does put the gloves on occasionally. I don't tend to move when June throws a punch at me, because no offence, but look, she's not the biggest, is she? So.
I'm more into kickboxing anyway.
Oh, that's all right. Look, thank you so much, guys. It's been amazing. Joino, thank you again for tonight. We've got Dean Anderson on straight after this show, so stick around and thanks for listening.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants, for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
When you want to enhance your outside space with a brand new driveway, you need a company you can depend on. A company that values reputation and trust, and one that delivers quality through detail. One name stands out from the rest. CF Surfacing. We'll work with you from start to finish and deliver the perfect driveway for you. CF Surfacing are part of CF Construction, a recognised name in the region and still a family-run business. Call CF Surfacing to discuss your project on 01522 253 333 or see our website cfconstruction.co.uk/surfacing.
Everybody needs more space, or ideally an extra room. Whether you want a new shed, a summer house, a garden office, or a bespoke outside building, you need the Shed Brothers. Our business is built on quality and honesty. We provide the full service, from a free survey to design and installation. And we're family run. We're the Shed Brothers. We're brothers and we make sheds and all sorts of timber buildings.
Check out the Shed Brothers on social media or online at theshedbrothers.co.uk.
Radio 9.